Fotini, we want to begin a discussion about time.
Right, so I guess I can say some things about time and how people try to understand time from the perspective of quantum gravity, since that's one of the aims of quantum gravity. I'm not completely sure how this relates to questions about laws and evolving laws, and I guess it does in an obvious way if by evolving laws you mean laws that change in time, but I'm not completely sure whether that is the most interesting part of this question. Anyhow, so if you want to say what do you know about time, I guess the best theory that we have about time is general relativity. So one has to go back to GR. And in general relativity, time is part of the space-time geometry. And the main thing is that this object is dynamical. So you do not have an absolute given time. So if you somehow cared about whether a law, I suppose, changes with respect to time, then you would have to use that notion of a dynamical time. That whole thing confuses me, but I guess, I mean, it probably does not make a lot of sense to discuss evolving laws with respect to an absolute time when you know that this is not fundamental. Anyway, even there, you can say that's nice, so time is dynamical, but the second thing is that general relativity breaks down. So at the smallest scales, we do not actually have a theory that describes the world. So the idea that time is fundamental, we don't actually, I mean, strictly speaking, have any reason to think so. The best theory about space-time has limitations, so I guess we're extrapolating. So one of the things that you want to do in quantum gravity is to actually understand what is an appropriate description of space and time at the scales where GR has failed. And there is a number of things that you can do. So so the different attitudes, I guess, people have towards time is one popular one is that fundamentally there should be so-called quantum space-time. That is, in principle, it's a conservative approach in that it just treats space-time as a field, like in every other theory that you have, and you try to quantize it, and then you end up with a superposition of these objects. So, formally, it's not that hard to write down these things. I'm not quite sure what to say about what we understand from that. I'm not so sure we actually understand very much. One thing is, what does quantum space-time mean? So, first of all, the loop quantum gravity, which is second most popular approach to quantum gravity after string theory, strictly speaking, is a theory of quantum space. So you have superpositions of space.
What theory is this?
Loop quantum gravity.
Oh, loop quantum gravity.
So, in fact, there is little that it can say about what does it mean to have quantum time, whatever that might mean. So overall, I don't think that I understand anything that I can bring to you from that approach. I don't know, maybe you can say something. And another possibility is that fundamentally there is no time. So people like Julian Barbour think of a timeless world and so on. Again, that I leave it to somebody else to describe that. I don't understand. In fact, a well-known person in our field, Chris Eichen, makes a distinction. He's a big Jungian and makes a distinction between the people that always think that fundamentally there is change and the ones that think that there is no change. And the two camps never understand each other and never understand even quite what the theory of the other camp is. So I honestly cannot understand the versions that have no time. So I guess I can say then something about the type of things that people do that try to construct some sort of pre-space time theory. And then the aim is that time as you know it, in the sense of the one-dimensional part of your 3+1-dimensional world, the continuous flow of time, should somehow be explained or emerge from some fundamental theory. Now, the part of space-time that people seem to greatly respect and try to keep is the notion of an event. So the event can be thought of as some sort of change or coincidence. And that notion seems, most researchers seem to try to preserve that in a pre-space-time theory. But it is tricky, because if you have a coincidence or a change, then you have to ask of what. So in the usual world, you can have two electrons that come together and then they merge or not or do something else, and that is an event. And you have a clearly well-defined notion of what that event was because you had these things coming together and going. And or if you want to think of that as change, again, it happened. One of the problems that we have is exactly this notion of what is a, there's one scientific term is a thingy, or excitation, that seems to be related to your notion of similarity, that maybe that is more fundamental. If you could, from a primary theory, extract something that lives, then maybe change and time and other things can come out of this identity of your basic objects, but it seems not trivial to do that. There are interesting things that are happening. For example, a number of models that are being looked at actually reverse this hierarchy that was referred to before, where the physics is more fundamental and somehow biology computation is less. So, in fact, a large number of this type of models are really, for example, networks that are supposed to evolve according to certain rules that are not unlike sociological networks or biological networks, they can be analyzed through computation. So information is actually something that starts being used a lot in this field. In all of these, the aim is you start with something that is pre-space-time, for example, an evolving network. Now, you can discuss what evolving
pre-space
means before
space-time.
Pre-space-time object.
Even though it's evolving, but...
Yeah, but it's not... So here what you mean by pre-space-time is not that you have no change whatsoever, or no evolution whatsoever, is that you don't have the continuum space-time, the continuum that you know. So in this category that I'm describing now, you do have some fundamental dynamics, you have some fundamental evolution, but it's just not the one that you know. And the one that you know is supposed to be the low energy limit, the approximate version to the underlying one. So I guess if you could succeed in showing how the space-time, the low-energy space-time, comes from such an underlying theory, then presumably you would have underlying versions of the usual laws, since the usual laws do refer to the space and the time. But I don't think that anybody is trying to make such a theory without at least some rules. So how would those graphs change? How would they evolve? In every theory I know has rules. It's hard to see what to do if you don't have that. I don't know if these are supposed to have the status of a meta-law. I think the really interesting question, is that a problem you run into these type of things, really, but it's not addressed seriously, is the one that you've raised of the configuration space. It is very unnatural to predefine a configuration space.
Unnatural
too?
Predefine a configuration space if you're trying to make a theory of the universe or a theory of space-time.
Now, what do you mean by saying it's unnatural?
Well, I mean, what you're trying to do is a bit tricky in the first place. So, for example, that type of theory is supposed to explain things like the Big Bang and how things came to be. So now you want some explanation of that. If you want to put in a configuration space, you end up writing down something that is insanely huge. So people do use a configuration space, but it's basically an ensemble of all things that you can possibly think of. Now, when those things are configurations of the universe, I don't know, you can write that down formally, but it's not even the same as saying this is all the matter in the world. It's not, you don't have any background, you don't have any understanding of why that should be there in the first place. You want to explain how the world came to be and how it evolved. So I guess what I mean by naturally is that they seem to be completely arbitrary.
What's the they that you just referred to?
The configurations that you use in these type of theories.
Mm-hmm.
They really boil down to that's what I like.
So it's a kind of false closure.
Yeah. I mean, you can write down a theory and maybe it's in terms of networks or maybe it's in terms of a spin system or in terms of some loops. But why that particular thing? It's not as if you go out and you say this is what there is in nature and that's what my configuration space is. And in fact, if what you want to show is the world that you see as the low energy limit, then maybe that is not really an explanation. Ideally, something like what you were describing of the adjacent possible would really appear to be much more what you would want to do here. But I don't think that is really being tried.
Well, can I ask a question about the adjacent possible that takes us back 8 years, Lee? Because I remember Hofner moves with a triumph of a fading memory. So there you would have the notion of a set of possible configurations that could grow out of a seed, right? All the possible Hofner moves. Right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should define what those are for people, and we can maybe just draw. So a possible model of the set of models that Hofner was referring to, here's just one might be that the world is a triband graph, that is a graph with, I'm actually already not drawing one, so the world's a graph.
Right.
The world is a graph, it consists of edges that come together at nodes. But I actually did want to say, so I just didn't draw it. You can specify the graph and talk about graphs which just have three, this is the simplest possibility, three legs at each node. So the world is some such graph. If you believe in quantum mechanics at this level of description, then for each graph is a state, and there's some quantum state which is called some superposition over these graphs. And the dynamics is some moves, quote, which are made. So a node becomes a triangle, or a triangle becomes a node. Or two nodes exchange how they're connected. And if you give a rule, there are three possibilities, either a deterministic rule, a statistical rule, or a quantum rule, you give an initial state, and then you proceed to construct histories. And that's a typical time model.
Okay, now you have extra time, and you can get the series used.
You addressed it. Go.
Okay, there are various versions of that. One is that you have a partial order of the sequence of the moves, right, in general. In the most conservative version, that is a geometry, non-classical in general. These are the moves are the events in some space-time. And now you have to take a superposition of those. So this is a path integral version of gravity. So each sequence is not an external time. You have all possible ones. And now the question is, how do you extract the classical one, the one that happens? In other versions, you might have one. And if it's a single one, then in some sense it is external. Well, I'm not sure if external is the right word, but there's only one sequence of moves. And then I guess you want to say that either your theory, any observer inside the theory has no access to that, or otherwise you do get some predictions that might or might not survive.
Let me try to say something which is in response to that, that we'll see if other people agree. There's something that one would like that seems impossible. One would like, and this, I mean, this is directly related to the issue of could laws be quote invariant in time? Okay. One would like a law that is local. Local means you just apply it to one part of the system, and that's all you need to know. You just need to know about that. Or you just need to know about that little part of the system. You don't need any other information. So some people, if you somehow, because of an expectation that information can only travel as fast as the moves change things to other things, you'd like a law or a rule which is local. And you'd like a rule that, from which, quote, classical space-time emerges. That is, the thing that you get by evolution is generated by the rules look like our universe. That somehow you can imagine looking at them, rubbing out a lot of information. You imagine these things are very, very tiny, you rub out a lot of information, and all of a sudden you'll see our world. I think, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that one of the things that has not happened is the discovery of such a rule. And so, and I think that and I should have put, because it's implied, okay, to something absolute, that is, somehow the system knows about, you know, the system runs the same rule all the time. Now, it's always possible to equivocate this, but it can start to feel like a problem. And one thing which increasingly looks strange and is related to the thing that I said is this thing, and I'm coming back to Robert's question, because if a rule is local, then imagine I have some very complicated graph in front of me, then whether something happens here or something happens here, it's sort of, quote, in what order is not a relevant question. And there's, again, also this inside-outside question. There's, we're speaking as if we give the thing a rule and we're looking at it from the outside. And looking at it from the outside, a question arises, you know, in what, and certainly arises in any simulation, in what order do the moves take place? From, or is there some clock running alongside the system such that, you know, every time, every second, they all do something simultaneously? Or, okay. From the inside, what's generated is a system of events which have some intrinsic causal relation to each other. That was the answer. Okay. That from the inside, there's a structure which is a record of what causally affected what. And from the inside, just like in special relativity, there's no meaning to which set of changes happen first until they involve regions that overlap. In which case there's causality, relations of causality between them. But we're somehow, we're always struggling with two things which I wonder if they're related. One of them is we're always doing this as if somehow we're on the outside. And we're always making a picture of the thing as if it were, you know, happening in a bottle over there. And because we have access to some external notion of time, either of order or continuous time, we can think about sort of local rules. And that's what's weird, and that's what's creepy. Because there are things that from the outside make sense that don't have any meaning from the point of view of the inside, like when do the events happen, or in what order do they happen? From the point of view of, if we're making a simulation, they have to happen in some order because the computer can only do things in some order. And the order that they happen, quote, in the simulation, has nothing to do with the causal order that beings inside the universe would perceive, or has nothing to do with it, but is distantly related to it. So I don't know if this is helping, but these are some of the problems that we're engaged in, and they suggest to me some relevance of the larger problems of this meeting, although I don't know that I can articulate them very well. One thing that's increasingly suspect is this, that is in a system. A word we use a lot is relational. And when we say a system is relational, we refer to sort of the Leibnizian ideal that the properties of anything are determined by the system of relations. And we have some notion, some mocking notion, that those relations are dynamical. Almost no such systems of relations are local in this sense. That is, why not draw graphs in which things are connected to things which are otherwise very far away in the connectivity of the graph? Why have so few connections? Why not have as many connections as there are? Why isn't everything connected to everything else? And so the feature of the classical universe, why space is a useful notion, because things are very far apart from each other. And information travels slowly relative to the size of the universe. But if we just somehow start with general ideas about there's no fixed background, everything is a set of relations which are evolving, the things that we're playing with are very unnatural. And we're playing with them because we're putting in features that remind us of continuous space-time, probably illegitimately. Yeah.